Welcome, everybody, to the 10 Days of Oscars series continuing here on the Cinephiles YouTube channel. I am the Outlaw John Rocha, joined as always by my co-host on the Cinephiles, Steve Morris. How are you, Steve?
I'm doing very well. I had a very good weekend with some very, very old friends, and nice. So I am rejuvenated and ready to talk Oscar movies.
Wow. All right. Let's get into it. I'm a little exhausted. Went up to LA myself to hang out with some old friends, and I'm a little tired, still recovering on a Monday as we record these, but we're going to knock out three of these today, but they're going to be dropping every day for the next 3 days. But first, we're starting off with Barbie. Let's get into it, Steve. This film, Barbie, that was nominated for so many Academy Awards here from Greta Gerwig and Noah Baumbach. Of course, Greta Gerwig directing the film, starring Margot Robbie, Ryan Gosling, Simu Liu, Issa Rae, America Ferreira, and a host of other actors that were a part of this thing. And certainly got a lot of tongues wagging, a lot of people responding to it positively, a lot of people responding to, or some other people responding to it negatively, saying it's a virtue signal film, all this kind of stuff. But certainly a film that explored gender dynamics and gender politics and in reverse order, showing Ken and the men as second-class citizens in Barbie land, to show how in the real world, in our world, women are essentially second-class citizens in a lot of ways in our world. So a fascinating film that caused you to think about a lot of these things that are going on in our politics and our world, especially right after the Me Too movement. What are your thoughts here on Barbie, the movie, overall?
Well, I want to start, since we're talking Oscars, with the quote-unquote snub of Greta Gerwig on this movie. And I know we said in our last podcast that the idea of nominating 10 movies for Best Picture and 5 directors for Best Director is really, really, really stupid. And it's just going to result in every year us having this conversation. But I wanted to say something really specific about this, which is that I think, to some degree, I judge what a director did based on their degree of difficulty. Mm. Like, how hard was this to pull off? Yeah. And this movie, conceptually, is so damn brilliant. And the one that occurs to me, we have the, that's similar to, we have the sequel to Inside Out, Inside Out 2 coming out soon. And I think Inside Out, the first one, is one of the most brilliant conceptual movies of all time, which is, it says, we want to figure out what's going on in the human brain, and then we're going to use all these visual metaphors and all these ideas to explore this idea. Yeah. That's what Barbie is. Barbie, it is so impressive to me to go, we're going to make a movie that comments on the objectification of women and how Barbie has contributed to these unrealistic ideas about who women are and and exploring their humanity and all these other things. And we're going to do this movie about how awesome this toy is and how much love there is for it. And we're going to do both of those things at the same time and explore gender dynamics and be really funny and have some great musical numbers. This is a high degree of difficulty. And this is why Greta Gerwig absolutely deserved to have an Oscar nomination for Best Director, because this is really impressive that she was able to do all of that and make a totally entertaining, fun movie. That is, you know, we talk about a 4-quadrant film where young kids, old fogies, men, women, everybody wants to go see this movie. And obviously everyone did, as it's the most successful movie of the year.
Right. Yeah. And I think it was fascinating to see what you lay out here, is that this was such an interesting project because it had been around for a while. Amy Schumer was initially going to be doing this whole thing. It had an approach to it. There were other people that were involved for a long while. So to be able to make a commentary about the criticism that has been lobbed at the Barbie doll and the Barbie series for such a long time, have Mattel go along with it, but turn that criticism around to show that these dolls represent more than people would think initially, and they've certainly appealed to a number of women generationally. And I thought it was really gutsy to have that scene where you see her show up and say that she's there to save the girls and save the world and do good, positive things and get the love and respect that she wants to get from them, and they turn her down and they make fun of her and they scoff at her because they don't really understand it. And so seeing how it plays out and they get confronted with what it really means and what it's all about and how she symbolized this idea of a woman who is upwardly mobile. And we saw the different variations of Barbie and accomplishing the things that they were accomplishing. Yes, it's kind of a commercial for Barbie within this movie, but I think that's the brilliance of it, is that you could see it that way. But when you see the writing, you see the commentary, you see the conversations they're having about gender dynamics and about gender politics in our society today, and especially that monologue that America Ferreira delivers, which I think if there's any human, regardless of gender or how you identify, that has an open mind, How can you not feel that monologue in your bones? Look at your mother or your sister or your ex-girlfriends or your significant other or the women in your life and sense what she's talking about. Sense the truth of what she's talking about because you've had conversations with them about their feelings about functioning in society and the incredible amount of demands that there are women in our patriarchal society.
So two things. One is I just want to go back to Mattel. I mean, we've had friends, you know, obviously Mike Vogel, Mike Ross, they were at Hasbro. They've dealt with these issues of IP and how important, how critical it is to protect the image of your IP. That is the biggest thing that Mattel owns is the idea of Barbie. And you go to them and you say, listen, we're going to have a scene where the cool teenage girls tell everybody why Barbie is terrible. And we want you to put that in your movie. Like the, you know, I don't generally go like corporate boards are brave, but in this case, that's pretty brave because if you have like the 8, 9, 10, 11-year-old girls who are the maybe the key demographic, they look at these 13, 14, 15-year-old girls as the cool girls. Yeah. And those cool girls are saying essentially, don't buy this toy.
Right.
You know, like that. But it's because she engages in this conversation and because we go to that speech that is just, that is a guaranteed to make you cry, in my opinion. Like, it is so human, it is so real, and what it does is that even though you have this scene where they're denigrating Barbie, what that the combination of the speech and the way everything works together is we go, oh, we can actually love this doll, see its flaws, explore it from a whole bunch of different directions, and that ends up being way cooler than all of the other IP-driven toy things where it's just, we want to get this cool toy in front of everybody, tell them how cool it is, show them how cool it is, so they buy the toy. That is that Barbie is doing something far more sophisticated than that.
Yeah, I mean, you look at a terrible film like Battleship that was essentially trying to sell the game and tell this also geopolitical story about the attack and aliens attack, whatever is going on there. And you're just like, what is this all about, right? But something like this, it was very clear from the beginning what this film was tackling, what this film was all about. And to wrap it up in the doll, I thought was a really smart move because a lot of people have basically somewhat of an personal experience with the Barbie doll, whether you knew about it, whether you played with it, whether you knew people, members of your family played with it, there is an experience. So there's a shared kind of commonality or knowledge about this. So to use that as the way into this, to tell this massive story, I thought was fantastic. And we should talk about Margot Robbie's performance here. Steve, no easy task either. Margot, you know, if you look at the recent box office returns for Margot, this wasn't necessarily a slam dunk, but this film absolutely lives and dies by Margot's performance here as Barbie in a number of instances, a number of moments. The film, of course, made $1 billion, but seeing her and go on this journey here where she is out of place, her feet go flat. What is this all about? This sends her on this journey of self-discovery that is fascinating. You think about the scene with her and the old lady there at the bus station. You think about her, as we said, in front of the young girls and the reaction she has. You think about her with Ken back and forth, their conversations when Ken turns on her. And then you think about her with America Ferrera and their conversations. Then when the women all come together, their conversations to get to where they're going and how she is the impetus for all of this happening. Yes, other people are much more colorful in the characterizations in the film, but she is the rock. She is the solid point that everyone is stemming off of. What do you think of her work in the film?
I think, you know, it's funny. We've been having these conversations lately on The Cinephiles about actors versus movie stars and movie stars who are good actors and all this stuff. And like one of the ones that came up, which relates to what we're talking about, another film we're talking about today, is that Tom Cruise, biggest movie star in the world, also a great actor. Like when he chooses to like really bring it, he's certainly capable of it. Leonardo DiCaprio started off as a movie star and is like really trying to just like, I'm an actor. You know what I mean? I think Margot Robbie deserves so much credit and is, you know, it's one of those things of like, is she a stunningly beautiful human? Yeah, she totally is a stunningly beautiful human. And I think that has made people disregard some of the great performances. I mean, the fact that she does what we saw in Wolf of Wall Street and does Harley Quinn and does Barbie and does, you know, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and other things, she can really act.
Yeah.
And if she couldn't really act, we wouldn't have been moved by Barbie. You know, like she had to feel, you know, and this is it's a weird thing. Okay, you're playing a toy with no human experience and no sense of the darkness of emotions. That's to the setup. And now we have to make that character fully realized and human in order for us to really involve ourselves and feel a sense of empathy with that character. And she totally pulls that off. Yeah,
you know? Well, let's move on to this man right here, this Ryan Gosling playing Ken. I mean, he almost steals the movie out from under Barbie. And I saw some reviews that said that he basically stole the movie out from under Barbie. And he has an interesting journey here as well. As we said, like the second class citizenry of men, him discovering the patriarchy out in the real world, going back into Barbie land and changing the dynamics, and then leading to this song. And it's that I'm Just Ken that is was nominated for an Oscar and led to a wonderful performance by him and the crew and all those actors you see there, including Simu Liu appearing in that on the Oscar stage, which I thought was fantastic. But what an incredible portrayal of this character that you connected to, empathized with, and understood the overall message that Greta was saying about women through this male character and what he's experiencing and going through by the end of the movie. And it's all because he can't accept that Barbie just wants to be friends with him, which is what a lot of women struggle with in the real world, is they just want to be friends with some of the men who find them attractive or are interested in them, and they just can't seem to have that friendship sometimes with those men because those men can't let go of the opportunity of trying to get with them and through their whole lives. So it's an interesting dynamic that you threw in here that I thought really worked, because it's always Barbie and Ken, but what if Barbie and Ken were just friends, right?
Yep. So if I think if you make a decision of like, I'm going to make a film about that exposes the patriarchy, I think your film's in deep trouble already right from the beginning. Right. If the film doesn't have emotional stakes and characters that we can believe in, all of your, you know, political nonsense you want to get into is not going to. And of course, I don't think that's nonsense because that's my politics too, but yeah, that's not how you make a good movie.
Right.
And I think what Greta Gerwig does this so brilliant is that she creates, as you describe, a structural way for us to see this, which is that the person who's really experiencing the patriarchy is Ken, mm-hmm, because he's experiencing a matriarchy in, yes, which he doesn't have a place, in which he doesn't fit. And so we can feel empathy for the dude, and through feeling empathy for the dude, we're actually exposing this bigger thing, which the movie wants to talk about. That's the first thing.
Yeah.
Second thing, where I go like maybe people will disagree with me, maybe you will too, mm-hmm, that the degree of difficulty Margot Robbie was under is fairly high. I actually think Ken's degree of difficulty is fairly low.
Fair point. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because this is a role that, you know, Ryan Gosling comes into a role that is perfect for, yeah, him to steal scenes. Yes. You know what I mean? Yes. There's just so much about it that is set up for success. It is a juicy role. And of course, he's a great actor, and he's a great actor who is perfectly willing to put his great actorness into, yeah, playing Ken, or in, you know, we've got Stuntman or Fall Guy coming up. You know, we've, yeah, got these, you know, it's like he's willing to make himself look ridiculous. And I think he does a great, great job. And I think the thing that you point out of like, I love the moment of him going, well, can I come in? And she goes, no, because I don't want you to.
Yeah.
You know, like that's totally simple thing, mm-hmm, is actually a surprisingly profound moment where it doesn't, there's no, she doesn't feel any social pressure. She just doesn't feel any like, yeah, who she's supposed to be or fear of rejection or, you know, what wanting to be like. She's like, well, I don't want you to come into my house, so you won't come into my house.
Yeah.
Like, wow. You know?
Right. I don't have to be nice about it, worry about your feelings, no, or, you know, like all these things that women deal with when they're trying to deal with men who are being persistent or aggressive or, you know, can't take no for an answer. She just plays it straight, yeah, which is what causes all this stuff. And then later, of course, he realizes all of this. And by the way, I also think this is a deceptively genius idea by Greta Gerwig and Noam Baumbach, who wrote the script here for this movie, because they knew, look, if we just, as you said earlier, Steve, yelled into the echo chamber, of course, there'd be a lot of women who would be 100% on board with this movie and would love the movie. But they're also trying to reach men who are coming to see this movie, maybe being brought by their girlfriends or wives or significant others or their family members or friends to come see this movie. Ken is what keeps men watching the movie who maybe don't initially want to connect to the Barbie story or the woman's story going on, but Ken is their connection. And then hopefully through Ken, they realize what's happening here. So, you know, a lot of people said, oh, why they put that in there? Because it took attention away from Barbie. That's the reason why, because you're trying to appeal to a wider section of the audience. So you get the overall message across, or you hope that they get the overall message of the movie. So I thought it was very fun. Great songs throughout this thing as well. And the design here, Steve, you got to talk about the production design. My God, the way they were able to make certain things work, whether it's CGI or live or practical effects, it was really incredible how they made Barbie Land come to life overall with the colorful designs on the costumes and the outfits, with the green screen fake background type things that they had overall here, and then juxtapose it with the darkness of the real world as we saw in certain moments. I thought that worked really well as well.
I think it's all about they went for it.
Yeah,
they didn't.
Yeah,
if you had gone halfway and said we kind of were a little nervous about Barbie Land, this movie wouldn't work. They went, Barbie Land is awesome.
Yeah.
And that we are going to show it for exactly what it is and exactly the amount of fake that it is. And that's why those backdrops are so great. You know, the way when they're in, you know, traveling through the space and it's all just very super, super cheesy and like very much. And it's also why we can go into a musical number. We can do all of those things and we're okay with it. And I also think just going back to the idea of, you know, exposing the patriarchy is like if we had come to the real world and we had gone, look, Ken, look, the patriarchy is terrible. And he goes, oh, my God, this is terrible.
Right.
Thus voicing the opinion of the film, it would suck.
Yes.
What makes it work is that he sees the patriarchy for the first time in his life and goes, this is awesome. Mm-hmm. You know, this is great. So that you see why exactly why a guy would feel comfortable in the patriarchy, because it's set up for him. And then seen again through the design elements when Ken brings that message back to Barbie Land and how Barbie Land is changing due to this influence, I think is another piece of how the design elements are really working for the show.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so great that by the end, he realizes that the patriarchy was not something he really wanted. It was just to talk to get Barbie to understand his pain, that he wanted to be with her, but she didn't want to be with him. And so the patriarchy itself becomes hollow because he gets a fake strength from that that isn't really warranted or earned or merited, that just being a man means this. And I love that that gets exposed, because he himself at the end is like, God, I hated it. I don't want to do it. And by the end, the women realize, okay, we need to make the Kens a little bit more of a part of our society, just as we must also realize in the society that equality is where it's supposed to be at between men and women, you know? And so I thought that was a great way to use Ken in that way, because there are a lot of men who do realize that the patriarchy or our patriarchal society is unfair to women and want to try to change that. And there are others, of course, who rebel against that, hate that, don't want that. And of course, we've seen a cottage industry pop up around that. But certainly there are men, and I think Ken represents that he sees that, he understands that, and he sees the hollowness of it. And I think that was important, because you're right. If he had seen it at the beginning that it was bad, it would have been a wasted movie yelling into an echo chamber. The fact that he goes through the journey by the end and realizes it because he's participated in it, he understands a little more intimately. I thought that was really smart of them. The only negative thing, and I'll see what your thoughts are, is I would think the Will Ferrell character, I thought that was kind of a wasted storyline. I get what the overall point they were trying to save it is, but I thought those scenes were what kind of denigrated the film a little bit and kept it from winning more awards, or kept it from even becoming a Best Picture contender favorite, in my opinion. What did you think of the Will Ferrell stuff? Anything negative to say about the film?
I totally agree with you. And it's not that Will Ferrell isn't doing his Will Ferrell damnedest to do that stuff. Is that the mistake, I think, is when you see those kids in the school or you see America Ferrara, you're like, these are real, real people, in contrast with the not real Barbie world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The corporate board and Will Ferrell are treated as Keystone Cops. You know, they're treated as they're much closer to the Barbie world than they are to the real world.
Yeah.
And so and it's funny too, because as you know, I listen to some conservative sources, and one of their things is like the actual board of the Mattel company has a whole bunch of women on it, whereas the board of the Mattel company in the movie is all guys. Right. And I actually, well, the using the political point on the aesthetics of a film, I don't really necessarily have a problem with changing the reality in this very, you know, out there movie.
Right.
But where I do agree is like, I actually think it might have been more interesting if they had been a little more towards the realism of America Ferrara and her daughter than they are towards the wackiness of the Barbie Land, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And it would have been interesting, because if you have women sitting on the board, are they just agreeing with the men to keep their jobs, or do they actually have a kind of simmering undercurrent of hatred towards women? Because that's something that could be explored about in our society, because that's a realistic thing that a lot of people believe about certain sections of women in society. So would that be an interesting thing to it? I think it would have been one battle too many, I think, in this film, which was already filled with so much commentary on social, political, and gender dynamic issues here overall. Before we go, Steve, though, I do want to give a love for America Ferrera. I thought she did an incredible job here. Her as the mom, as you mentioned, of Ariana Greenblatt's character, who some of you may have seen recently in the Ahsoka series. She's a fantastic actress, and she's about to be in Borderlands as well. But I thought America did an incredible job with this. It was great to see a Latina actress get a little shine, get a little opportunity to stand out, and then get to deliver the monologue that she delivers. Did you enjoy her work and her storyline throughout the movie?
I think if she's not in the movie, we're probably not talking about this movie right now.
Wow. That's a great statement.
Well, because she's the linchpin.
Yeah.
Like Ken and Barbie, and it's all really fun, and there's great comedy, and the movie would totally succeed.
Yeah.
But it's her character, because her character is not just who connects it to girls in our real world. It connects us to all women and all the things that, and she made, even though I am not a woman, a universal statement that I totally related to. You know, like I totally related to all the demands that are on you in your life and trying to please all these people and all the things that she's talking about. Yeah. That's what made the movie universal. I think without that, that's the heart. I mean, she literally is the heart of the film.
Yeah.
You know, and without that, I don't think the movie succeeds in any way like what it does right now.
Yeah. And I love the Rhea Perlman stuff as well, which I thought was a nice addition. At the end, their interaction at the end was just beautiful in so many ways. All right, well, there we go. That's our conversation here on Barbie, celebrating the 10 days of Oscars. Thank you all so much. I know a lot of people were reaching out to us going, when's the next episode? So clearly a lot of you are enjoying our conversations on these Best Picture nominees. So we can't thank you enough. Steve, what do we have to tell the people who are watching us right now?
Well, if they want to follow the Cinephiles, you can subscribe to it right here on the YouTube page and like it too as well. If you're more of a podcast person, you just want to listen to it, then search for Cinephiles, CIN-FILES on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It's also in all the other podcast apps. You can get it there. If you happen to be on Apple Podcasts and you want to get some of our bonus features like our Cinephile Shorts and ad-free versions of the show right there through Apple Podcasts, you can actually subscribe to the show for as little as $4.99 a month or $49.99 a year, which is a good deal. Mm-hmm. Or you can go to patreon.com/thecinephiles, which is right above us, and that has those features as well as our watch alongs and joining the advisory board and all sorts of other stuff. I'm not quite sure what made you crack up right there.
And more.
And how much would you pay for a Cinephiles bonus pack? So we have that. Maybe I should do like our own home shopping network.
Yeah, it would be perfect.
If you want to reach me, it's SR Morris on Twitter and SR Morris 1 on Instagram.
And I'm at The Roca Says on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Thank you all so much. We'll be back tomorrow with another one of these installments for 10 days of Oscars. Until then, take care and be well.